As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, you may notice two prayer quotes here. Please take time after the service to tie a knot and say a prayer for each of them. As you know, it's also a beginning of another school year, so please keep in your prayers the students and teachers and everyone as we prepare to start that. And one other, Beth Miller, wife of a former pastor here, was injured in a very serious car accident recently. Please keep her in your prayers this week also. Now would you please join me in prayer? Great and glorious God of all creation, we worship you. All glory and honor are yours, our Heavenly Father. Your amazing creation is perfectly balanced to sustain the life you create. Every snowflake is different, yet together they cover the ground with a blanket of snow. Each of your children is created with different gifts, yet together we can cover the world with a blanket of love in your name. Lord, you loved us before we knew you, and we give thanks for your unlimited love and prevenient grace. You loved us enough to sacrifice your only Son, and we give thanks for forgiveness through Jesus and your justifying grace. Your word guides us as we grow in relationship with you, and we give thanks for your Holy Spirit and sanctifying grace. Shine your eternal light on our path of stepping stones that lead to you, so that we do not miss an opportunity to be in right relationship with you. Each day offers opportunities and decisions for doing harm or doing good. Thank you for freedom to choose, actively doing no harm and pursuing good. Help us to make someone's day better for every day we are here, so we serve others according to your plan. Grant us the wisdom to understand and use our gifts in connection with others, so we become instruments of hope in a fallen world. Floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and wildfires wreak havoc around the world. People struggle with various difficulties from the rigors of daily life. Merciful God, we are thankful for your comforting and healing presence. Hear us now as we present our gratitude and concerns through silent prayer. Lord, you graciously listened to the concerns we presented for your consideration. Thank you for being in relationship with us and hearing our prayers. Jesus showed us how to live faithfully in an intentionally right relationship with you. He also taught us the prayer we now recite together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson is Luke 9:1-6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them the power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave that town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Bill. A thought occurred to me as Bill was reading scripture that here in worship, many people have an opportunity to witness to their faith in different ways. And I'm giving thanks for Susan and Kate, who witnessed through music, through Bill, especially witnessing through children's word. And Bill brought the message at our Whitmore Lake campus last week. And I regret that there was no recording, but I've heard that the Holy Spirit was in that place. And Greg brings the most powerful prayers. And I know it's a witness to your faith. And so, you know, the prayers that people bring here on Sunday morning, they write them. They don't come from a book. They don't come from clergy. They come from people. And you may be saying to yourself, wow, I'm interested in one of these kinds of ministries that I've just mentioned. If you are, talk with me or talk with one of these gentlemen or talk with Susan about being in those kinds of ministries, because they truly are a witness to the faith. When I was in high school, not that long ago, I came to understand what a Christian was meant to be. Her name was Margaret. In a time when we were wearing blue jean bell bottoms and experimenting with eyeshadow, picture electric blue, Margaret had long straight hair and wore a dress and carried her Bible to every class. Margaret was an apologist, and if anyone questioned the person of Jesus Christ or the holiness of God, Margaret was ready to defend the faith. And more than that, Margaret was ready to tell you what you were doing wrong. And Margaret was smart. She was watching and she was active. And I thought to myself, this is what a Christian is like. This is witness. And so when by the love of a United Methodist youth director and a group of United Methodist youth, I came to accept Jesus as my Savior at the age of 16, I figured that I would be an also-ran. I would be an okay disciple, but I would not be the star of all disciples because Margaret had that position. By God's grace, through the years, I have discovered, encountered, and been blessed by a diversity of followers in the faith, disciples of Jesus Christ. And they have come and spoken their faith by their actions and offered their witness in words that have powerfully moved me beyond my stereotypes of what it meant to lead a Christian life. And I learned that although I may not be able to articulate everything clearly or have all of my theological understandings down pat and memorized or know every Bible scripture and verse, I knew that there was a way I could witness that could introduce the faith to Jesus Christ. Now, through the last weeks, we have been talking about our vows as United Methodists. We vow to be faithful to the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And I believe today, as we talk about the last in that list, witness, we are at the most difficult one. Because you may be able to say, yeah, I'll pray. Yeah, I'll show up. I will offer my resources, I will give money, and I will even serve. But don't ask me to go out with the bullhorn. Don't ask me to put the sandwich board on. Do not ask me to go and save souls by offering testimony, because I will not do it. What I want to do today is talk about an understanding of witness that might free us to do what we have vowed to do and what Jesus Christ calls us to do. And the scripture that I've chosen, and there are a lot of them in the scripture in the New Testament about witnessing, but the one I've chosen is from Luke 9. Now, Jesus, you have to remember, he got baptized at the Jordan River and he's in the Galilee region, and he knows that he does not have very much time. He does not have time to get to every person, and he has two important messages. One of them is the kingdom of God has come near. And that the other is that by that kingdom there is healing and demons are thrown out. And so he enlists his disciples and sends them out. You know, we talk about networking, right? He couldn't rely on social media. He needed face-to-face people to go out and talk to people one-on-one about what God was doing and how they had come face-to-face with God in Jesus Christ. So he sent them out to accomplish this task. If you look at Luke 10:1, you'll see there that he sends out actually 72 disciples, sends them out two by two to proclaim that the kingdom has come near and to offer healing. This is pretty typical of Jesus and something that we learn is our responsibilities as disciples. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says as he's ascending to heaven, he says to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses." In Acts 2, when Pentecost comes and there's a great sound like a mighty wind and something like little flames dance on the heads of the disciples, they don't get fire extinguishers. What they do is they start to witness to their experience of Jesus Christ. This morning in the last service, I was listening to the scripture and it popped into my head another important scripture that really sustains me. This is from Acts 4, and this is John and Peter, and they are witnessing to the life of Jesus Christ, and they're thrown in jail. They're pulled out of jail, and the jailers say, okay, if you would just stop talking about Jesus, we'll let you go. And this is what they say. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have heard and seen. We cannot help speaking about it. It's what we do. Now, all of us have that opportunity, and I am going to suggest this, that I'm not asking that we become those kinds of witnesses that we find in Christian stereotype, condemning, judging, memorizing a particular line and delivering it by rote. What I would suggest is that in each of us, we have stories of faith. Stories of how God, through Jesus Christ, has acted in our lives, and we have the opportunity to share those faith stories. If nothing else today, because I'm going to repeat this again, but if nothing else today, you have a faith story and God calls us to end our silence. I will say this again. We have faith stories and God calls us by the power of Jesus Christ to end our silence about that. And so, as I suggested, our faith story is not necessarily a conversion story. You may have heard one of these, and so you're expecting that the faith story would be one of those things where you're down low. Just the lowest of lows, in the pits, and someone introduces Jesus Christ to you, and you rise up and are saved. Now, there are people sitting in this room that is their story. They can tell you when it happened. And God bless you. My hope is you're telling people that story. For others of us, our stories are a little more subtle. Our faith stories might begin with a grandmother who would not let us go. Our faith story might begin with a friend who was an example of faith that we had to figure out for ourselves. Our faith story might be with a place we are right now in the midst of a storm in the darkness where there's just a pinpoint of light at the end of a tunnel and we're traveling and we don't know the end, but we know that God is present in the depths. Our faith stories might be very long. with great rich details because we like to talk anyway. Or our faith stories might be very, very short because we don't share very much, but we're willing to say that Jesus helps us get by when it happens. Our story might be about a loved one who sustained great courage by faith in the midst of hardships. And it might be our story of great blessing or healing or discovery or journey that has been lifted and has been blessed by the presence of Jesus Christ. Whatever our story is, it is worth sharing. It is worth sharing. And more than that, the story that we offer is the legacy that we leave for the people who come after us. For some of us, maybe more than others, we think about the legacy that we leave. And you may say, I have an idea of the legacy I will leave. And it may involve a gift of cash. I'm leaving a legacy that will touch my children and grandchildren. For some of us, we might say, I'm leaving grandma's buffet, and man, that buffet has stories. We may say, I'm leaving my collection of coffee mugs, and it will be cherished. And others of us say, I'm leaving the legacy of this lazy boy with these perfect dents in it. Someone else will find great comfort in this chair. But we know truly that those kinds of legacies, they diminish and they leave and they fall to ash and nothing is left. The legacy that we leave that can sustain life is a story of faith. It's the things that have come through our lives where God has touched us in amazing ways. And I would suggest that there are people that we love and people we know and people we want the best for who have no idea what our faith stories are. Amen? Have no idea. And we have remained silent. So this is what Jesus said to the disciples. So I want you to go out, and I want you to take anything. This is risky. I don't want you to take a staff, you know, something to help you walk, to ward off animals on the trail. I don't want you to take any bag or food or resources. Just go trusting. Now, there were a couple of reasons for this. One of them is that the disciples needed to learn to just trust that God would provide, that it would be okay, that God would be with them. And the second thing is that the disciples needed to show the people that they witnessed to that they weren't in it for their own personal gain. They weren't there to win anything, to put a notch on the people to Christ. They were simply there with their hands open and empty, as if saying, take it all. Take what I have. And you use it as well. That's the kind of witness that Jesus sent them out. And Jesus also said, you're going to come across people who will reject your message. They're going to reject your message. Jesus didn't promise that everyone's going to listen or that we're not going to offend someone, even though we don't want to. We're just speaking out of our joy in our life. But Jesus said, yeah, you're going to. And so he said, when you encounter someone like that, reject your message. Just shake the dust off your heels and keep going, right? Well, for us, we might use that term or think of that term as rejection, turning our back on someone, walking away, even an aggressive step. But in the context of the first hearers, it was a symbol that meant shifting responsibility. So to shake the dust off and walk away was something like this, was saying this, I have done what I can, now it is your responsibility, right? But you don't get to shake the dust off your heels until you're able to say, I've done what I can, and now it is your responsibility. And so Jesus gave them this hands-open kind of stance and sent them out empowered to know that they wouldn't succeed every time, but they were called to witness, to offer that the kingdom of God had come near, and to offer healing, the power of that healing. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have to offer a faith story that is not risky, because I think risk is part of what we do as witnesses. But the faith story that we offer can make a powerful difference in people's lives, and words can do it. You know, I think sometimes we'll say, okay, there's witnessing by deeds and there's witnessing by words, and we make a very strong distinction between the two, and we'll go all the letter of James in the New Testament, you know, that says, show me your faith by, you know, your words, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. As we say, I'm going to act my faith, but I'm not going to speak my faith. But I think that there's a place for both of those. I'm reminded of this powerful moment, a gift that came to my niece. We were playing this game. Now I'm telling a story in a story. Sorry about that. We were playing a game. It's one of those games where you pick out cards and you have to share with family around, you know, one of those little topic games. So she picked out a card that said, tell us about your most powerful spiritual experience. And she told a story that I had witnessed. And I did not realize that it had touched her so deeply. I was traveling with my aunt, my sister, a few other women, my niece, and we were in Northern Ireland. And we were on the beach in Northern Ireland looking north at this growling ocean and the wind whipping. And my aunt Jan was terminally ill with lung cancer. She would die a month after we returned. And she stood on the beach and gave praise to God for her life. And in the midst of the wind roaring and the waves, she shouted it out. And my niece Valerie, who's all urban sophistication, works in Manhattan, she saw that moment of verbal witness as the most powerful spiritual experience in her life. We have that opportunity to take the risk and to speak. Now, I know that sharing is tough, but I want to relieve you of this burden. We're not called to convert people to Jesus Christ, to save souls. That is the work of Jesus Christ. That's who does that work, trust me. Trust me, I say this as a pastor, it is Jesus who does that work. And we're not called to get it right. We're just called to be faithful and to have integrity and to be authentic. We're not even called, believe it or not, to put butts in the pews. Sorry. To grow the church. We're not called to do that. We are called to make disciples for Jesus Christ by telling our stories, by offering opportunities for the Spirit of God to enter people and to speak, and to do exactly what happened to us. That's what we're called to do. And so let me just offer a couple suggestions. The first is choose your story. Now, your story may be one of conversion. I can remember the Saturday night of a lay witness mission when I went to the altar and gave my life. I have that story, and I can name names and talk about that testimony, and for some of you may. But for others of you, your story may be of witnessing someone else who rose up by the strength of their faith. Your story may be getting through the most difficult situations in your life, being gut-punched by news, and being able to survive by the grace of Jesus Christ. Your story might be of knowing how God was moving in your life in the moment of challenge, or it might be a story of looking back and saying, oh, now I know why I said the right thing there. It wasn't me, it was God speaking. Your story may not even be of you, but of what you witnessed in a friend or a family member who was the epitome of Christ. We all have that story. So the first thing is choose your story. Again, it may be short, it might be a couple sentences, it might be long. The next thing is just to hold the story gently. And what I mean by that is honor that it is a story of yours. and that it's worth telling. Think about it. If you're a writer, you might write down a few words to remind you. You know, it might be like the words might be grandma and green bean casserole. The word might be 1994. You know, whatever the thing is that triggers that story for you, to put it down somewhere so that you see it and you come back to it. And that you hold it gently and that you honor that this is a real faith story. It may not be a conversion story, but it's a story of God helping you to overcome, to stand tall, of coming through discovery into a deeper and richer relationship with God. And the next thing is to tell your story. I love this picture. This is Art Neff, who is hopeful for the Tigers. It's an everlasting hope. Tell your story. Tell your story. Now, I would suggest that you tell it first to someone that you love and trust, so you kind of get a sense of how it's going to feel to say it out loud. And if something has come to mind to you for you right now, there may be someone you could talk to today by phone or in person and say, I was told to give my witness today, and I just want to tell you this story. It'll only take me 2 minutes. I want to tell you how God has been in my life. Find someone you trust, and then take that chance and tell someone else. My husband George is reading this book right now by Bill and Gloria Gaither. It's about being a grandparent and how to be the best grandparent you can be. Is there anyone in here who has not told their grandchildren the story of their faith? We have an obligation to do that. Is there anyone in here who has not told their adult child the story of their faith? Aren't these the people who know and trust us and love us? How could they not want to hear what has shaped us? And yet we remain silent. We need to tell our stories. And they don't have to be fancy. I'm thinking of John 9 in the Gospel. It's the story of Jesus healing a blind man in the temple, and he does it on the wrong day, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are so upset, and they try and get the blind man to say that Jesus is a sinner. And in 9:25, this is what the blind man says, who now has his sight. He says, "I don't know if he's a sinner. The one thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." That's all. That's his story. I was blind, and now I see. And so the next thing, after we think about the story that we're going to tell, is to think about who needs to hear it. A few years ago, I went to a conference, and it was in a big city, and I needed a ride from the airport, so I got one of those transport vans, you know, and the woman stopped the van, and she took my luggage and put it in the back, and no one else was in the van, so I got in the front seat with her, and riding along, and I noticed that there was a book about ADD, attention deficit disorder, on the console. So I said to her, "Oh, I see what you're reading here. Is someone in your family, do they have ADD? And she said, "Well, no," but she was reading the book because she really liked this dietary supplement. And in fact, she had packages of it that I could buy before I got out of the van. And that not only would this dietary supplement cure ADD, but it would also cure nervousness and being too tired and obesity and diabetes and, you know, whatever. Okay, so you get the picture. So I realize, you know, that I'm trapped in this van. It's moving. And it's going to be a long ride. It was a 45-minute ride to the conference location with traffic. And I look around the van, and it was excellent. She had like props about, you know, obesity and pregnancy and this and that. And I look, and there's some more in the back. So what she'd done is kind of put things around so that people could ask questions, and then she could come in. And I tried to stop the sales pitch. It became a game. I would say things like, and this is serious because I was laughing inside. I would say things like, "Well," she'd take a breath, and I would say, "So have you lived in this city all your life?" And she would say something like this, "Yes, I have lived in this city where over 5,000 people are using this supplement and getting better." It was crazy. And so finally, I just let it wash over me. And So what was this sales pitch about? So that she could accomplish, she could make a living, a supplemental living with supplements, whatever it was. But sometimes we get this idea that that's what Christianity has to be. We have to be armed with pamphlets and books and Bibles and little statues of plastic Jesus and crosses and those little pamphlets that say turn or burn. And we have to have all of that stuff and equipped with that, that finally we'll be able to tell our faith story. But I have to tell you the difference between this woman that I met in that van and what we are doing. She was there not because she cared about me, nor did she care about the health of my family. She was there to sell something and to make a profit. We, as witnesses to Jesus Christ, are not sellers of anything. We are life givers. What would you do for a loved one to support them and perhaps even to save their lives? Would you give some money? Would you give your wisdom? Would you offer your resources of time and effort? Would you even give blood and an organ or two? Of course you would, to save a life. Oh, I went to foot stomping. But we remain silent when it comes to giving the gift of life that will sustain for all eternity to our loved ones. This is my challenge. Get your story and tell it to someone. Did you know that the rising generation in our country is checking the nun box when it comes to religious affiliation more and more? That's N-O-N-E, that they have no religious affiliation. And I am convinced it's because we have given up talking about our faith. I am convinced that while we can't say that's the work of Jesus Christ, we can offer again and again. In this newest generation, they don't want a canned prayer or testimony. They don't want a show. What they want is integrity and authenticity and reality. That's what we have to offer to each other and to this world. And so, I just offer this challenge today. Choose your story and hold it. This next week, tell someone safe a story from your life that speaks to the power of Jesus Christ. More than anything, do not remain silent. Tell your story. I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, you know the stories that are within us about that time when we got the worst news in our lives, about that time when we were all alone and yet not alone, about that time when we said the right thing at the right time, about that time when we saw that guy do amazing things out of faith in you. Bring those stories to mind for us, and more than that, Lord, give us the courage to develop, and more than that, by your Holy Spirit, open opportunities for us to speak in love to our friends and family that we care about. Give us opportunities and your strength to be your witnesses. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.